It is wonderful to be here today. I couldn't help but when reading the scripture reading this morning, as it was being read, reading along, realizing that today there are so many people bringing vain oblations to God. The religious people all over the world are gathering. And yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a very important thing. But not a single word that the Lord uttered is without importance. And therefore, we're going to take one single verse that the Lord spoke and use it this morning. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15 is our text. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We are privileged today to have visitors among us that they might hear the word. Understand that part of their family went elsewhere, but they are here. Being faithful members of the body of Christ, to hear the word, to heed that which is spoken by our Lord. And we know what season it is. You know, I've noticed a lot of ears lately. We were in town yesterday, having had the Bible class here yesterday morning, and had some errands, I guess, to run. And I noticed that there were several people walking around with these little headbands with ears. You see them in the grocery stores, the shopping centers, and even gas stations. And people can buy these things and wear them if they're so inclined. I don't do so because I don't want to mess up my hair. But they're doing so in anticipation of the holiday that many are celebrating today. This is a man-made holiday. Don't know exactly what the conversation was this morning in the car. I was listening, honey. But she said, what does bunnies have to do with Easter? I said, that just really fits the sermon this morning, so I have to mention it. The answer is, I guess, because of fertility. And we know how if you put bunnies together and next thing you know, the cage is full of bunnies. That's where people use these things. That's why they attribute it to this particular holiday. It's a man-made holiday. And there's no such mention of this holiday in sacred scripture. Yes, there was an all-important event that was planned before the foundation of the world. It occurred at the close of the Old Testament age, and it changed the world. But while Jesus was here, he taught of that which would come about as a result of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that's where our text comes from. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Incidentally, contrary to understanding of countless millions, this holiday has nothing to do with ears. But when Jesus was here on earth, he did call attention to the ears. But more importantly, to the function of the ears. To bring information that is spoken into our minds so that we might apply it, so that we might look at it. He's not saying to let things go in one ear and out the other. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we know that if we want faith, we must hear the word of God. We must hear it well. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we understand fully what is going on. By hearing the word of God, we can learn and believe and have faith in what God has promised. But there are some improper ways to hear. There's some excellent reasons to hear appropriately. So let's look into these. First, I want to look at an improper way in which to hear. There are those who hear in a prejudicial manner. We are to hear without prejudice. Now, before anybody gets the wrong idea, let me identify this particular definition for prejudice. The word bias comes to mind. Most interpret the world through their own experiences. There are those who are gathered throughout the religious world today, and they are hearing with prejudice, because they are biased toward man-made teaching relative to holidays, relative to worship, relative to serving God, reading only portions of the Bible as we discussed in our Bible class today, pulling pieces out of context and applying them to focus upon their particular system of belief. And what bias does, it skews a person's ability to properly hear the truth. They will hear what you're saying, but they will not. It will not compute as truth. When it gets to the point where it goes contrary to what they already believe, they'll shut you off. My dad used to always say to us, "Do you hear me?" He would lean forward. He would point his finger. "Do you hear me?" He quit doing that after a while. He finally said, "Do you understand me?" Because to hear is not always to understand. Take, for instance, Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. It is very clear that when Jesus was speaking of these people, that the doctrines of men was that which was drawing them away from the Lord. In fact, he was very descriptive. He began in that particular passage, "Ye hypocrites." A hypocrite is one who is an actor, one who is playing a game, so to speak. They are doing one thing or hearing one thing, saying one thing and doing something else. And he continues on and says, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips." Can you hear it today? In the religious world, all over, there are people who are going to church services that throughout the year don't go to church services. Maybe 3-4 times a year, special holidays, whatever the case may be. But they are going, and they are drawing near unto the Lord with their mouth. They're trying to honor him with their lips. But notice what Jesus said about these folks, and it applies to these today. "But their heart, their mind, is far from me." Why? Because with their ears they did not hear properly. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You know, it's bias or prejudice is an interesting thing. You know, sometimes it can be unintentional, and sometimes it can be intentional. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. "These are those who were exposed to the truth, had heard the truth, had seen evidence of the truth, and especially in that particular day and time when the word was being delivered in conjunction with the signs that God had given to these men, to prove that they were speaking the word of God, they were still scoffers. They were still willfully ignorant and wanting to make fun of what was being taught. And as Peter warns those brethren, he said, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers." What is a scoffer? Someone who mocks, ridicules, or jeers at something or someone. What? We can live again? We've had all these people that died. Where are they? They're still in the ground. I can just almost hear these people. They're walking after their own lusts. And verse 4 shows us what they were saying. Where's the promise of his coming? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Yes, people come. People are born. They live. They die. And life goes on. It is a process. It is something that humanity continues to exist in and participate in. But verse 5 tells us, "For this they were willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." You know, God has a plan. And I hear people today talk about, "Wonder what God's plan is for me. It's the same for you as it is for me." God's plan is that we hear with our ears, take it into our minds, and learn the word of God so that we will know how to obey him, how to become his child, how to continue in service to him so that we might be able to spend eternity with him one day. But those who are willfully ignorant are often immoral as well. Immorality prejudices one against the truth. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, following the Lord's proclamation of that how much God loved the world, we're going to see there that these people did not appreciate the light because they loved darkness. This is no different than saying people do not appreciate the truth because they love untruth. And they may not be fully aware of the fact that what they are following is untruth, but they are so entwined in it that they are holding to it, refusing to let go of it, and they hold it, live by it, and will die in that situation. Notice what he said about these people because they love darkness. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Now, this doesn't mean that they have to be heinous sins. The word evil has a bad rap. Don't get me wrong. Evil is evil and evil is bad. But we think oftentimes about evil, it has to be something that makes headlines. No. Anything contrary to the word of God is evil. If we're wanting to follow man-made doctrine, that's evil. We may be good, moral people, but if we don't follow God, we're evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In becoming a child of God, surely to goodness, we realized that there were things in our lives that had to change. There were things in our lives that were wrong. There were things in our lives that we needed to work on. And with the proper instruction from the Word of God, if we have ears, we will hear and we will heed. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, we see what happened to these people. Their understanding was darkened. Why was their understanding darkened? Sometimes because they don't hear. Let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to these brethren in Ephesus, and we see in verses 17 and 18 of Ephesians 4, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk. Notice this. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know why some people don't obey the gospel? Because they don't want to see or hear the gospel. The ignorance that is in their heart, the blindness that is in their heart. Culture oftentimes causes many to be biased against the truth. Consider from John chapter 12, verse 43, the Pharisees and the chief rulers of Jesus' day. There were those who perhaps began to hear and say, you know, this makes sense. But why wouldn't they leave and follow Jesus? This passage tells us. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So we must strip all bias and all prejudice from our mind and let God speak. As 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 teaches us, we should seek where the word is properly proclaimed, where the truth is taught, so that we might hear with our ears. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. It goes on to say, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so, we need to hear without prejudice. Listen to the truth and then examine it to see that it is the truth. Another reason to hear is to hear to be obedient. You know, our hearing must be done in an effort to seek to obey what God has said. You know, when we do not obey, it's a direct result of not really believing. You wonder sometimes about people, so-called Christians today, who partially obey. I mean, partial obedience is disobedience. But why do they not? Perhaps they do not fully believe. Hebrews 3, verses 18 and 19 tells us what happens to these people, those who do not believe. He said, and to whom did he swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. People sometimes will not obey the gospel because they don't believe that there's just one way. They won't obey the gospel because they won't believe, they cannot believe that they have to separate themselves from people who are participating in false teaching. And so we see from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that disobedience equals disbelief. And as the apostle or the writer, the penman, continued to deliver that word from the Spirit, he said, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." But notice this, "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And there are those who will hear, and those who will respond to a degree, but will not fully obey. Romans chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us that it's not only those who hear, but those who do, having heard, and those who are committed as the ones who are going to be justified. "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." We have been given God's New Testament law. We have been given it, and so we can hear it, so we can read it, so we can study it, and we must do it. And it takes commitment. But before we hear, or before we obey, we must hear. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we see that when we hear it, we must accept it as truth, the word of God, not the word of men. It's incredible to me how many times people have said, "But my preacher said." That is great that your preacher says. And the preacher should always say, as the oracles of God, he should speak the word of God. He should preach the word of God. Timothy was told, preach the word. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the apostle was directed to pen, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You want the word of God to work in you? Then you need to believe the word of God. And if we have ears to hear, let us hear. It's interesting to me in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33 that when the opportunity to hear the truth was presented before Cornelius, he was ready to hear all things that were presented. Cornelius was a devout man, but he was ready to hear so he could be obedient. "Immediately therefore I sent to thee," speaking to Peter here, "and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." You know, the church would be so much stronger today if more Christians would hear and do and desire to hear more in obedience to God. But while we hear without prejudice, while we hear to be obedient, we need to also hear to correct ourselves. Oftentimes people have a very skewed misconception of the chastisement of God. God chastises us through his word. He's not going to strike us down. He's not going to inflict us with a disease or something of that nature. These things are part of life. They happen. How does God chastise us? Through the word. We need to hear with a view towards self first. How can I apply this word and make myself a better servant of God? We must see God's word like a mirror, looking at ourselves, looking into, the Bible has been called the mirror of the soul. How many of us look into a mirror and compare what we actually see and say, you know, I need to change that. I need to alter that. I do that all the time. Especially when I put on a pair of pants and they're tighter than they were last time. You know, I look in the mirror and go, yeah, I probably need to lose a little weight. But how many of us do this with our inner man? Look there in James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. "For if any man, or if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Why? Because he corrected himself in accordance to the word of God. We are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Looking into that perfect law of liberty, changing ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is what this is telling us. And the reason is that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if we apply that and we realize that our self needs to be changed frequently, we need to continually look into the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God and use our ears for the purpose that the Lord gave them, that we might be transformed, that we might continue to renew our mind, that we might refuse to be conformed to this world. And to do that, we must hear so we can practice self-discipline and self-control. You know, every change that I participate in has to begin with me. Every change that you participate in has to begin with you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It shows that this is an individual obligation that each one has if they will correct themselves according to God's word. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to these people, we have it so we can read it and so that all can hear it. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And notice this, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And there's another very, very important reason that we are to hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We need to hear that we might evangelize others. You know, when our lives are in order, we're better able to take the gospel to others, take what we learn and share with others in regular situations. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we know as Jesus had come forth from the grave, he was speaking to his apostles very near the end of his time here on this earth in a physical form. And what did he tell them? He came, he spake to them, and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then, because he had told them, and they knew that he had the authority, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Take them the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he continues, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We know the formula. A lot of times people think that means go out and find people and teach them and baptize them and then go find some other people. That's not the formula. The formula is to go, teach, baptize, and teach, that we might all grow together, that we might grow in Christ. That's part of the observing all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We need to hear that we might evangelize others when others ask about our faith. And that makes it easy to evangelize. Think about how much easier it would be if people were calling you every day going like, hey, I got a question. Can you tell me what to do about my soul? Did anybody get that phone call last week? I don't think so. It's rare that it happens. But look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. When anyone asks us of the reason of the hope that's in us, what makes you a child of God? What makes you a Christian? What makes you a happy individual? We are to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. First, put him first. Make him the center of our lives. And know his word. Why? Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I once heard a person make an excuse. Well, I don't talk to people about their soul because I'm afraid I might tell them wrong. You have no trouble talking about your bicycle and that mountain bike thing that he rode and all that kind of stuff and all the mechanical workings of it and all that kind of stuff. You talk to people for hours about that if they let you. Why can't you talk to them about their soul? What was important? What is of the most importance? Yes, we need to be very careful. We need to make sure that that which we tell other people that they hear with their ears is what God said. But we've got to be able to evangelize. We've got to be able to go out and reach people. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, we must hear that we will have divine answers to pass on. Notice our previous passage says, be ready always. How are we ready? You have that information available. You know, it's interesting about classes. You have no idea what kind of questions are going to come up in class. And sometimes, some of the questions that come up in class, you think, well, where is that scripture? I've not prepared for that question. But we got to prepare so that we can. It tells us, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Why? That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We also need to hear that we might correct the misrepresentation of others. There are those that are leading people astray. There are those that are leading people into condemnation. And that's sad. But if the opportunity presents itself, we need to be able to try to overcome this false teaching, especially if someone is willing to listen. In Titus chapter 1, in verse 9, this young preacher was told what to do. Hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. It should be dear to us. It should be something we want to pass on to other people. And it is the tool that God has given us that we might be able to overcome the gainsayers. He says that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. What is a gainsayer? Someone who contradicts what God says in his word. Friends, those who participate in false teaching are gainsayers. They're contradicting what God's word says, and how are we going to correct them if we don't know God's word? How are we going to know God's word if we don't listen and hear God's word? That's why Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What's the conclusion? He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. How to hear? Without bias. Set aside preconceived notions. Look to the word of God as for what it is. And use it properly. Hear with a view toward obedience. It's terrible, but there have been situations when people will hear something from the Word of God and go like, I'm not doing that. That's not what I believe. That's not what I do. That's not what I want to do. We must also hear it for self-correction, that we might bring ourselves back in line with the Word of God and that we might evangelize others. And when we evangelize others, one of the things that we want them to know is what God's word says about the saving of a soul. And if they have ears and they use them properly, what should they hear? They should hear the invitation. What is that invitation? It's extremely simple. One must hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They must also believe, as Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. What are they to believe? Jesus tells us, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. One must also repent. We know that Saul was a persecutor. He persecuted the church, but when the message was directed toward him, he heard it. And it showed that he repented. That he repented. Because in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, as we see, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And one must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus Christ asked that simple question, "Whom do ye say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And one must be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us, "The like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us." It is the culmination of a series of things that one must do in order to become a child of God. And when they hear that message, perhaps they will obey it. Perhaps someone here will obey it today. And then we must remain faithful unto death. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we see the words given to the Apostle Paul that show this readiness and the result of it. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Perhaps you're here today and you have obeyed the gospel, and you have ears, and you've used them to hear this morning. And something that has been said helped you to understand that you have sin in your life. And if you have unrepented sin in your life, you have separated yourselves from God as his child. And he doesn't wish for you to be lost. And therefore, in his plan, he also provided that means by which an erring Christian can return to him. It's found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." The sermon this morning is about hearing, but it concludes with the thought that we must trust and obey. Are you ready to do that today? If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to become a child of God by hearing, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized into Christ. Those sins will be washed away. If you are an erring Christian or a child of God who has unrepented sin in your life, return to him in repentance and prayer. Won't you do so as together we stand and as we sing.